Know the Source on One Radio Network.
Good morning. This is OneRadioNetwork.com. The telephone number is 888-663-6386. Email Patrick at OneRadioNetwork.com. Here's your host, Patrick Timpone.
All righty then, here we are, hour two of our little show, September 13th, 2018. We're live here worldwide on the interweb. Thanks to Al Gore for inventing that. Thanks, Al. And every morning, 9 to 11 o'clock, or sometimes longer, depending. And Open Phone Friday tomorrow. We have a great week lined up for you next week. OneRadioNetwork.com. Ken Rolla, who's out looking in pyramids and crazy things in Europe, he's going to be here live from, I think, France on Monday. He's here the third Monday of the month. We'll talk about pyramids and some of his really far-out research. That's why we love Ken Rolla. This next hour is going to be fun. I am very looking forward to spending an hour with Dr. Tim Marshall. He's a neuropharmacologist, a nutritional biochemist. I'm reading here from his website. Check this out. Functional medicine consultant, passion for natural healing, doctorate in neuropharmacology, University of Arizona, bachelor's biochemistry, master's organic chemistry. Woo! Graduate school, he entered the realm of drug discovery research, analytical chemist for Pfizer. So he's been the belly of the beast with the pharmaceutical industry. Then he went on more schooling, neuropharmacology, minoring in medicine, chemistry, and toxicology. Then he got into some things with green energy, clean energy research. And wow, what a bio. It is dr-marshall.com. Good morning, Dr. Marshall. Thanks for being here with us this morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Well, we're good. We're just so good. You're out there in Tucson, Arizona.
Yes. Just waking up. It's 8 o'clock here in Tucson, and I'm usually kind of a late night person, so it's always interesting getting up early in the morning.
Well, all you out in Arizona, do you just get up and talk to the rain angels and say, Lake Mead, we need you to fill up? Boy, it's been dry out there, hasn't it?
Right. Yeah, it's supposed to be 106 tomorrow, so it's still hot in September.
Well, Dr. Marshall, what a background here. So you worked for the pharmaceutical guys for a while?
Yeah, I was a drug discovery chemist. I was an analytical chemist for a few years in my 20s. So after I did my master's in chemistry, went on to work for a big pharma for a few years, and that was an experience.
I bet. Boy. Man. Do you have any stories you can tell, and you can be nice?
Well, I was a newbie. I was young. I was 25 at the time.
Yeah.
And 25, 26, and I was really grateful to have a good position, a good job. So for that, you know, I was just thankful to, like, be able to buy a nice couch and, you know, to have the money to do the things that I didn't do as a grad student. But it wasn't where I belonged, and so I basically moved on. You know, within a couple of years, I just moved on. I knew it wasn't where I was supposed to be.
Mm-hmm. Did that basic idea that we believe is correct, and correct me if I'm wrong, that in the pharmaceutical industry, it's really more focused on doing a pharmaceutical drug to attempt to clear out a symptom rather than get to the root cause.
Yeah. Unfortunately, that's true. Yeah, it's really symptom suppression. And, you know, they have shareholders that are their focus, their primary focus, and it's not really consumer centric. It's not consumer focused, and you know what can I do to heal someone? It's not, you know, those aren't the questions they ask.
Right. So as a neuropharmacologist, after going straight, if we can say that, into the natural area, what kind of things are you really passionate about or focus on now in this work from a natural healing perspective, like we talk about here.
Yeah, I've developed a couple brain supplements. So I have two patent pending brain supplements.
Wow.
I'm interested in brain recovery, healing traumatic brain injury. And so that means any kind of injury due to, it could be a physical trauma, car accident, you know, your NFL, NHL, you know, your kid on the playground, you hit your head, any kind of neurological injury caused by just a physical or chemical induced injury. If someone's exposed to mercury, lead, any of these like neurotoxins, it helps heal neurological injury. So that's something I'm really passionate about, is getting to the root cause of why someone, you know, is experiencing whatever it is, depression, anxiety, you know, if they have night terrors, sleep disturbances, you know, often it's due to a head injury, or it's like chemical toxicity or nutrient deficiency. So those are my primary foci, you know, these days.
So you think you've come up with some actual, these are patent pending kind of supplements and nutrients that can be taken orally that will get in there and clear up some of the chemical imbalances as well as physical as a...
Yeah. They're designed to correct the underlying nutrient deficiencies that are driving a lot of neurological conditions.
Huh.
So a lot of people are, you know, magnesium deficient, you know, like 3/4 of the population are low in magnesium.
Really?
That's really important for nervous system stability. It's important for healing in the brain and nervous system. Lithium, which is a nutrient, it's a micronutrient. Fluoride in our environment actually binds to lithium, forming lithium fluoride. So it precipitates out lithium, and lithium's a central trace mineral. We've known about it for, gosh, over 40 years. And it's, I believe it's going to be the next big element that hits the scene in the next few years.
Wow.
Everyone's going to know lithium is a brain nutrient.
Ah, so, but don't they give lithium to mad housewives who are having a hard time?
Yeah.
What's that about?
You know, the difference is that's really high dose. So lithium carbonate, lithium citrate are used in doses, you know, from 150 to 340 milligrams per day to treat bipolar. And those are really toxic doses. The difference is small microdoses of lithium are like 5 to 20 milligrams, really small doses. And they actually serve a nutritional requirement in the body. So it's much different.
Wow. So it's kind of a similar to a low dose naltrexone idea where you're doing microdoses.
Right. Yeah. Along those lines. And I mean, you know, people are going to, they're going to know lithium just like they know zinc and iron and copper and, you know, molybdenum. Molybdenum is a central trace element. How many people, you know, are aware that molybdenum, it's, you know, every so many years we discover some new element, you know, and lithium is just the next one. It's the next one that's going to be in every multivitamin.
I'll be darned. So, so are folks taking lithium now at these low doses? Is it a compounded pharmacy thing, or is it over the counter stuff at this low dose?
Yeah, you can actually go to natural grocers and get a chewable. You can get capsules and lithium orotate. So orotate was developed by a German oncologist in the 1960s and 70s, Hans Nieper. He's a brilliant oncologist, treated Ronald Reagan for cancer in the 1980s.
Huh.
And this guy was just incredible. He developed these orotates, which are really well absorbed. So calcium, zinc, lithium orotate, and magnesium as well. And they get into the cell very efficiently.
How would somebody... just get to the point where they think, I sure could use some lithium like he's talking about here. I mean, what would be some symptoms of that?
Well, it's a companion nutrient with magnesium.
I see.
So if you look on the periodic table of elements, and I've taught chemistry for over 20 years.
I know, yeah.
There's a diagonal relationship between magnesium and lithium. And that diagonal relationship says that lithium is more similar chemically to magnesium than any other elements on that group, on lithium's group, so sodium, potassium. So lithium and magnesium are really similar chemically, and there's a lot of overlapping functions in the body between the two.
So I want to get back on this mercury thing and all that. We've spoke so much about it. You know, we talked to Dr. Hal Huggins, right, the mercury guy, 10 years ago, and, you know, he wouldn't even He wouldn't even go into a fish restaurant. He was so mercury. It's like,
right.
God love him. Yeah. He just didn't even want to go into a fish restaurant, man. He was just, you know, he was just way over the top on mercury.
Right.
And so if this stuff gets in there from the maybe fish or who knows, or maybe, you know, of course, obvious would be the fillings. So does this do something? I mean, there's never a, let's see, how should I say this? In other words, does it actually change the physical components of the brain, or is the brain just kind of having little light beams go back and forth on electrical grid? And talk about that, because I'd like to better understand how the mercury thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, so mercury, what it does is it directly poisons the glial cells. So the glial cells are sort of housekeepers in the brain, and they keep everything balanced. They keep, you know, your neurotransmitter levels balanced. They suck up excess glutamate when glutamate's released. So when you have mercury poisoning or any sort of like mercury, you know, heavy mercury exposure, your glial cells become inactivated. They become poisoned. And what that allows for excess glutamate to develop in the brain, and that causes excitotoxicity. Now, excitotoxicity is really it's bad. It's bad, and it causes sensitivity to stress, depression, anxiety, sleep disturbances, learning problems, a whole host of symptoms. And what's nice is magnesium and lithium counteract that. So as companion nutrients, magnesium and lithium, they work to counteract that glutamate or, say, mercury exposure. So they're antidotes to these modern toxins.
So one could have mercury in the brain, not know it, and be suffering on the symptomatic level from anything from anxiety to insomnia to restless legs to who knows, because it's kind of exciting the brain a little bit.
That's right, exactly.
Wow.
And so, you know, I would tell my students, I said, you know, if you're going to eat a lot of tuna and you're going to get those spicy tuna rolls out at sushi restaurants, just realize, you know, it could be working against you in the stress department. It could be making you more stress reactive. And no one wants to be more stress reactive, you know. Everyone wants to be cool, calm, collected, focused. And, you know, mercury, lead, cadmium, arsenic, they're all neurotoxins, and they all cause oxidative stress, and oxidative stress causes, you know, neurons to not function properly.
So these are the usual suspects. Excuse me, Doc. Mercury, lead, what else?
Arsenic and cadmium.
Arsenic and cadmium. Mm-hmm. And do we really think they do come from the fish? Do you know Boyd Haley?
I don't know.
He's a professor at University of Kentucky, emeritus, and he probably knows as much about mercury as anybody on the planet, and really cool guy. We did an interview with him about 10 years ago, and he created this substance called oxidative stress relief, right?
Mm-hmm.
OSR, this white powder that he said will really clean out your brain, right? And this stuff works so good. The FDA took it, made them stop selling it. So we knew it worked, right? So
of course.
Yeah, they took it off the market. And I believe he's in Europe right now developing it and trying to sell it from there. But anyway, here's what he said on this interview, and I'd be happy to send you the link to listen to it.
Sure.
He told me 10 years ago, I asked him about the, you know, mercury in fish, and he said, and I always remember this, that the selenium or something in the fish, and when you eat the whole fish, that the mercury doesn't get into the brain as people believe. I mean, that's what he said. I mean, is that possible?
Oh, it's true. Yeah.
I don't know why I would question Boyd Haley. He knows more about mercury than I do, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. We have research that supports that selenium actually binds to mercury. So that selenium is, it's basically, you know, antagonistic to mercury. And as long as you have more selenium in the fish than mercury, then you're protected. So tuna and other fish that accumulate mercury because they're predatory and they get large, as long as you have more selenium, and there's a certain level, there's a ratio, you're protected against the mercury. Now, that doesn't account for people that have difficulties, you know, metabolizing, detoxifying mercury. So there are people that can't excrete it and detoxify it very efficiently, and then it can accumulate in the body, and there's where you get your problems.
I see. So if one were eating a good amount of fish, would it be a reasonable thing? And two questions, would it be reasonable and be safe to take extra selenium? If so, how much?
Yeah, I think for most people, Gian Schrauser, he was a professor emeritus from UCSD. He was a selenium expert back in the 1960s and 70s and 80s. He was taking 300 to 400 micrograms of selenium a day, and that's what he recommended for everyone, was 300 to 400. Now, most therapeutic functional medicine specialists, they believe that around 200 micrograms is a good dose for most people. And that's pretty much where it's been. You know, as far as cancer, it's been studied at 200 micrograms. So I would say for most people, if you keep it between like 150 to 300, you're good. And then, you know, there's formulas like Andrew Weil has his own multivitamins and stuff, and he puts 200 micrograms in those. And, you know, so I think 200 is a good protective dose. And if you're, you know, only 100 pounds, then maybe just use 100 micrograms. Use a lower dose because it's based on your weight. So you want to make sure that you don't overshoot it by too much. But selenium is very non-toxic. I mean, you would have to take around 2,000 micrograms a day, you know, over a period of time to get toxicity.
Oh, that was my next question. So it's generally pretty safe.
It is. And the upper safe limit by the USDA, I believe, and FDA is 400 micrograms per day. So 400 micrograms is what they say is the safe upper limit to use on a daily basis. And it's really, you know, with all the toxins that we're exposed to, selenium is really, it's protective against mercury and arsenic and cadmium. So it's a good idea to get a little extra selenium.
Would we have to eat like a pound of Brazil nuts to get that much?
Oh, no.
No.
Yeah, the deal with Brazil nuts is they're so variable. Like you could get one brand and it has like 50 micrograms in a nut, and then another brand might have 20 micrograms. You just don't know how much you're getting in a Brazil nut.
Depending on where it's grown, the soil and all of that stuff.
Right? And it can vary like tenfold.
And it's difficult to find organic Brazil nuts too. I mean, you really have to shop around. There's not a lot of places that have them.
Yeah. 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 They say, you know, 2 to 3 Brazil nuts a day will give you your selenium requirement, but it really depends on the soil.
Yeah.
And Brazil nuts also deliver radium, which probably is okay since there's radioactive, you know, potassium in bananas. So it's probably okay, the radium. I like to get a very specific dose. So when I'm using it in a clinic, I just want to make sure I'm getting X amount. So I give people that have traumatic brain injury 200 micrograms, and that promotes the formation of new brain cells, neurogenesis. So 200 micrograms has been shown to upregulate the body's production of growth factors. Like lithium does the same thing, and those growth factors increase neurogenesis, the formation of new brain cells.
We're talking with Dr. Tim Marshall, and if he sounds like he knows what he's talking about, probably does. He's a neuropharmacologist, PhD, chemistry, biochemistry, all this stuff. He has more degrees than he knows what to do with, and he was actually in the pharmaceutical business for a while. And now you're more researcher, consultant, teaching, that kind of thing?
Yeah, I've really directed a lot of my attention now to just seeing clients, patients. You know, with a PhD, I'm not an MD, so I'm working with a neurologist, so I work under the umbrella of an MD, and I do the nutrient optimization. So my passion is nutrient therapeutics and also detoxification. So the two, you put those two together, and you can really rebuild the body.
Wow.
Give the body nutrients it needs and then take away the toxins and boom.
Good. I want to talk to you. Stay there. Don't go away. We're going to talk about nutrient therapeutics and detoxification, and we're going to do that after a little break. Fun talking to people like this, isn't it? If you'd like to join, 888-663-6386. Email Patrick at oneradionetwork.com. As you know, a couple of years ago, we stumbled on Dr. Ellie Phillips, who's a great dentist, and she came with this whole protocol on how to really get your gums back happy again and get off of some of the things like glycerin and chalk that are actually scratching the surface, get the microbiome in the mouth happy again rather than killing stuff, and cool things. And we did DNA things, and I really saw it was working really, really, really well. Still is, you know, it's working. But I got to the point, though, because she has fluoride in a couple of her, in her protocol, that I just couldn't get my emotionally, spiritually get my head around doing any kind of fluoride in my body. So I kind of fell off that bandwagon. But a lot of people do very, very well in their program. So I'm not dissing it. And I don't even know if that little bit of fluoride in your mouth that you don't swallow is detrimental or not. I don't know, but whatever. So, but I got to just show you what I'm doing now that I really, man, it's the bomb, folks. I'm using Closest, which is one of her products that she recommended, which I think is a Procter & Gamble or one of these guys' product, which is chlorine dioxide. It's stabilized chlorine dioxide. Now, chlorine dioxide is exactly what Miracle Mineral Supplement is, also known as MMS, right? The humble thing and the whole thing with the, you know, beriberi and whatever these diseases in Africa that just croak these things. And, I mean, we know a fellow that we're going to have on the show that spent 3 years in jail for promoting Miracle Mineral Supplement. I don't get it too off track here, but then you can actually get it in Closest, which is a stabilized form, patented, of course, by the big pharma folks. So, whatever. So this stuff does work, and it brings oxygen, and it doesn't kill stuff. So I just do this, and then I'm doing the Pearlseum. Get to the commercial here if I quit just talking. Pearlseum, and this is a really interesting component. It's just pearl, real pearls. And pearls kind of get feisty. Pearls get feisty. Bullies come up and kick sand in their face and call them, you know, whatever, liberals or right-wing racist or whatever. And they just get fancy, and then they start crying, and they actually have tears in their pearls. That's how pearls, that's really, they don't have TV down there, so probably not the political thing. But then this biochemist and also quantum physicist, Dr. Rulin Xu from China, she always knew about this idea of using pearl since she was a baby, which is just like a cool story. And so she figured out a way how to explode the pearls, real pearls, not mother of pearl or something like that, into a powder without damaging the crystalline structure. So it's a magical thing. And it's got a lot of minerals in there, not just calcium. That's important to know. Got all kinds of different minerals and also some proteins in there. So this is kind of a living source, and you can take this internally for calcium and other minerals. And also, here's the beauty. Do the Closest and then put a little spoonful of that. The powder comes in a little plastic spoon right on your toothbrush and go and brush your toothies with that. Well, OMG. Just do this. And you do this for a couple weeks, and you're going to see things going on in your teeth that you're going to say, what? Holy, what? How is this possible? I think it fills in the little grooves, and she says it does. They've proven that it actually, well, it'll help the bone to grow, and a tooth is a bone, for those of you who don't know that. That's a bone. And they're shiny and pearly. They're not this Hollywood kind of white thing where you can see a lot of the Hollywood people. They bleach them, and it looks kind of unnatural kind of thing. And this is a pearly, and it's, hence the term pearl. And just so you know, pearl has been used in Ayurvedic medicine and also in Chinese medicine forever. I mean, thousands of years for beauty. And you can mix it in with your face cream, put it on your face. I like to do it with the aloe that we get with our fresh aloe that we order from Stockton Aloe One. You can mix it with that, put it on your face, brush your teeth with it. The bomb. We have put a link now on the front page, and I believe it's going to the right spot now because I want you to order two at a time because you get a real, great. If you go on the front page of One Radio Network, click on the little green container, Pearlseum, and it's going to take you right to a link where you get two bottles for $129. So you're saving like $60 or so, and get two of them, put one in the bathroom and one in your kitchen and play with this. And I think you're going to really like this product. It's very, very interesting. Pearlseum, Get two of them, oneradionetwork.com. Click on the link. Lisa wants to know, what does Dr. Cowden think about the far infrared saunas, as Patrick is always talking about, for detox?
Yeah, I like infrared saunas, near infrared and far infrared both. So those help to shake loose from our cells the toxins that are trapped inside our cells, and they go into the extracellular space. If you're working on your lymphatic system, then the toxins that are in the extracellular space will go into the lymphatic vessels and travel back to it, to the central circulation, and be pumped by the heart through the kidneys and into the urinary bladder and toilet, or through the liver and the gallbladder and the bowel, and finally into the toilet. And so that is an excellent way to detoxify.
Thank you, Dr. Lee Cowden. He wasn't particularly promoting our specific sauna per se, but it's certainly a good understanding from his perspective how this works. These are great units, low EMFs. I'll give you a sale price of $9.95 delivered continental U.S. simply by emailing me, Patrick, at oneradionetwork.com. Email me, Patrick, at oneradionetwork.com for the Relax Far Infrared Sauna sale price. These are beautiful units. I mean, not beautiful, beautiful looking kind of thing, because they are portable. I mean, they're fine, and they have this tent that's this space age silver material, and it's very easy to clean. I like to just do a diluted version of hydrogen peroxide and spray it and just wipe them down from time to time. I just put a towel over my chair, and I don't know, it doesn't matter, because I do what I do, and it doesn't matter that I do it, but I do it. Can I say do on the radio? I do it almost every day of my life, even when it's 100 degrees in Texas, because I just think it's cool. Now, Dr. Huggins, he suggested, this is cool, he suggested as you get more of the toxins out of your fat, and maybe I can ask Dr. Marshall if he thinks this is accurate, possible, as you get more toxins out of your fat, where we know that that's where it likes to store in your muscles and fat with the far infrared sauna, then as the muscles and fat kind of get more clear and open, that they can draw more of these metals and stuff out of the bone. Dr. Huggins said that. I don't know if he just made that up or there's science behind it, but I like to believe that, because I feel better every time I do a sauna, because who knows what we got in our little bones. These are cool. Just email me and I'll hook you up. Patrick at oneradionetwork.com. $9.95 in the lower 48. And also then if you live in Canada or Hawaii, it's very inexpensive. If you live around the world, we ship them all over the world. We can ship it with the proper plug. Australia, Europe, anywhere, Ireland, we ship them all over the world. And it doesn't cost as much as you think to do that, only a couple $100 extra. So it's a cool deal. Just email me and I'll hook you up. Hook you up.
Broadcasting from the beautiful Hill Country in Texas, this is OneRadioNetwork.com.
Okay, we're having a good time talking with Dr. Tim Marshall. He is a neuropharmacologist. He said his really passion is about, did you say nutrient therapeutics and detox,
yes.
Right? Okay, let's start with nutrient therapeutics. Talk to us like we're a golden retriever or a young child, and tell us what that is.
Well, okay, so Linus Pauling really sort of started it back, in the 1950s and 60s, and he called it orthomolecular mm-hmm. nutrition. And really, it's just nutritional biochemistry. So biochemistry of the body in the nutrients. So it's about optimizing. So if someone has a traumatic brain injury, for example, or any head injury, their body loses magnesium. The brain loses magnesium. So in the nutrient therapeutic model, you just want to restore that magnesium to, for regain a function, to get the body functioning well again. And so that's all it is identifying whatever's missing and replacing it, and then getting rid of any toxins like mercury that are in the body.
Right. And you do this, I suspect, let me take a guess, maybe hair analysis, blood? How do you detect what's going on?
All of it, yeah.
Yeah, all of the above, right?
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, whatever I can use to detect what's in the body. And hair analysis is good for certain things, for heavy metals. Kind of gives you a window into some things. And then other things like lead. I mean, lead goes right to the bones, and it can stay in the bones for, up to 15 years. So it's really hard to get a good read sometimes on lead. But vitamin C binds to lead, lowers serum lead. So good reason to take vitamin C every day is because it lowers lead.
Hmm. So when we talk about lead or mercury or whatever in the brain, is this a physical substance that's kind of attached to the brain that's causing things to go cattywampus, or is it energetic, or do we know?
Uh-huh. Yeah. Okay. So when you take in a heavy metal like lead, what it does is it competes for your nutrients, your natural elements. So like zinc and and calcium. So when you have lead in the body, it's actually interfering with the natural function of your essential minerals. And that's the reason why taking extra selenium can kind of offset the mercury, because it can kind of outcompete for the enzymes in the body. So selenium can actually bind directly to mercury and promote its excretion out the body. But sometimes, like I was saying, sometimes the detoxification systems aren't like functioning optimally. And in that case, certain things like mercury can accumulate.
So we hear, well, we need magnesium. You said yourself, we're 3/4 of the people are magnesium short. And then you talk about lithium. And all. But if we end up with a counter full of all these different things, taking a little bit of this, a little bit of that, a little bit of this, I mean, aren't we at a risk too, Dr. Marshall, of getting things out of balance because we're just kind of throwing mud against the wall as well?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Okay. You just described my teenage years. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
So I got in this field when I was 11, when I was just a kid.
Really?
And I had like 100 bottles of different supplements. I was trying to figure out what was going on with myself. I had this chronic skin rash when I was 11, 12, all the way until I was 20.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. My mom was mortified. She was like, well, just don't take anything anymore. And it was basically my training grounds is how I learned about biochemistry. It was through my own experimentation and testing on myself. So what I can tell you is, yes, going willy-nilly with supplements is not a good idea. And I learned a lot from that. And so, there's some all-in-one formulas. Like I mentioned that I have a brain supplement, and Daniel Amen, and that, he's a psychiatrist. He's got its own brain supplements. But it's important to have a balance, exactly. So if you're taking, 30 milligrams of zinc a day, you can cause a copper deficiency over time.
Yeah, yeah.
If you're taking too much calcium, like a lot of people are taking like caltrate for their bones, and they're causing magnesium deficiency depletion in the body. And that's the last thing you want to do for your body is deplete it of magnesium, because it regulates over 300 enzyme systems. It's so critical for brain function, gut function, muscle function. It's just that central element that controls so many processes.
So in a perfect world, is it something like, I don't know, seaweeds or ocean water, or something that has a full spectrum of minerals and let the body pick and choose what it wants? Or like you say, you have a brain formula, and give it a plug, please do. I mean, what's your brain formula like, and how do people find out about that? Where is that? I don't see it on your website.
Yeah, it's getting produced right now.
Okay.
And it's undergoing some testing at the University of Arizona College of Medicine.
Oh, cool.
So I have my old dissertation advisor. He's doing a study with it, and then also with the military at Fort Bragg, Special Forces are going to be testing it.
Oh, cool! What kind of things are in there? Just can you tell us?
Sure. Yeah, it has magnesium and lithium as a core components, and it has 20 neurosupportive elements. So it has a wide spectrum of B vitamins, anti-inflammatory minerals like selenium and zinc. So it's an anti-inflammatory brain supplement that is designed to heal neurological injury, and it does it at the lowest effective dose. So the key is the lowest effective dose. You just want enough that you get those healing processes kickstarted, upregulated, but not too much that you're overloading the system.
Would it be something that you take ongoing, or would the brain, once you get detoxed, would the brain just kind of figure things out?
It's a protective shield, so it's neuroprotective.
Mm-hmm.
So the key is it protects against the brain toxins, while at the same time it gets those healing processes upregulated. And you would want to take it because you feel good taking it. The thing is,
cool.
I like to call like these different elements, magnesium, lithium, zinc, I call them the holy triad in brain recovery. the reason I call them that is they're feel-good nutrients, first of all. They help you feel good, they reduce stress, they boost your mood, and then they also help heal any pre-existing injury. So if you have any injury anywhere in the body, you need these elements for healing.
So there's never, though, really a permanent thing that happens to the brain? Permanent?
Well, yeah, there can. Yeah, so when you have a brain injury, for example, or you have an exposure to some brain toxins, you know, whether it's mercury or lead or cadmium, there can be cell death. So the brain can actually suffer cell death, and you need to repair that. Like if you're destroying a large part of, say, the hypothalamus or the hippocampus, you need to repair that injury. Otherwise, you're going to have permanent damage, loss of function.
But wouldn't the brain just kind of work its way around and make more stuff and just kind of leave the dead stuff there and say, well, I'll just make another pathway? I mean, doesn't it do that?
It does. It has compensatory mechanisms, absolutely. But it's up to a point. So as long as you remove that toxin exposure, so if you're chronically, say, you're consuming lots of seafood high in mercury, over time, you know, it could have an effect where it undermines your body and then it sets you up for some neurodegenerative process like Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, you know. So that's the problem, is if you don't correct some of those things and they just continue, like if you have a magnesium deficiency and it keeps going and going, you're losing that shield. Magnesium's a shield, lithium's a shield, zinc, they're all shields against toxins and also any kind of injury that you might have.
So from the picture of a spiritual or God perspective, these things probably at one point were all in the soil.
Absolutely, yes.
So God knew what it was doing, right? It didn't create a failed system, is what I'm saying.
No, they're God nutrients, and I'm a deeply spiritual person. You know, you look at something like lithium, and it has an atomic weight of 7. 7's a divine number. It's got an atomic number of 3, another divine number. I mean, in numerology, I mean, you can get into that. We don't have time for that.
Oh, no, we got time. I don't do it, man. Go for it.
I can tell you that lithium being a 3-7 or 7-3, you know, it's got divine written all over it. And it's all about healing. It's about bringing healing to a planet that deeply needs it.
Oh.
And the time is now. You know, I think people are open to it because they know the pharmaceuticals aren't working for them.
So we go back a few thousand years before we start doing a bunch of dumb stuff. The theory, the way we evolved, are you suggesting that we just keep eating food and good soil and pretty much the body should keep working?
Absolutely. I mean, if you're living in Costa Rica where everything is organic technically because they don't have all the chemicals.
Yeah.
And yeah, I mean, that would be the ideal situation, right? If we could all live in Costa Rica and just eat the best, you know, organic food with all the minerals that our ancestors got. But unfortunately, there's glyphosate, which, you know, is being used in incredible quantities and has been over the last 20 years. And it binds directly to our essential trace minerals, like, you know, it binds to everything that's 2+. So iron, copper, zinc, chromium, molybdenum, selenium, it's binding to all those elements and depleting them in the soil.
So we've had Dr. Seneff on. I'm sure you know her or know of her, Dr. Stephanie Seneff, several times, 3 or 4 times, and she talked about the glyphosates and the sulfur cycle, and we have a cool pure sulfur that we promote that people seem to love. So not only does it disrupt sulfur, but it does a lot of what you call +2 minerals?
Yeah, and so it was first patented. Its first patent was as a chelator of metals.
Oh, good.
So it binds aggressively to 2+ ions, and that's all your essential trace minerals. I mean, it's, you know, she wrote about it in her paper, molybdenum, iron, copper, zinc, manganese. You know, it depletes all those elements, and those elements are neuroprotective. They're brain nutrients.
Wow. This is not good stuff, Doc.
No.
This glyphosate, man,
Not only is it a good chelator of metals, but it's also biocidal. It destroys your good gut bacteria. Yeah. So glyphosate, there's a double whammy associated with it.
Wow. Yeah, so it does the same thing to the plants, right? And that's why it kills the weeds?
Yeah, there is something called the shikimate cycle,
right,
that plants have. And Dr. Seneff, I mean, she's an expert in that. But it shuts down some processes in the plants. But, you know, from my point of view, I mean, it's causing mineral deficiencies, both in plants, and then we eat the plant that's deficient in the minerals. So we have mineral deficiencies. So it goes right up the food chain.
It's insidious. Do you have an opinion if we would have to eat, say, if we happen to eat like a chicken, whether it's a natural chicken, just antibiotic-free, but they're eating GMO corn, which has the glyphosates, which, you know, I don't recommend, but if people do that, do we know if that's those glyphos are getting into our body just by the chicken eating GMO corn?
Well, I'm sure. I mean, there's the reason is because soy and corn are heavily, heavily sprayed with glyphosate. And the soy is engineered to be glyphosate resistant. So they can use even higher levels on the soy than on natural soy. So the GMO soy can basically, you know, it can take all the Roundup, which is glyphosate and other things that are with it. It can take it. And that's why our exposure levels, you know, in the last decade or so has been so much greater than, you know, in the 70s and 80s, you know, when it just wasn't used as much.
We're talking with Dr. Tim Marshall. He's a neuropharmacologist, nutritional biochemist, master's degree. You worked for NASA for a while?
I worked with the Department of Defense, NASA contracted energy group. So it was a clean energy research group.
Boy, you were in the belly of the beast, Doc. Whew.
Yeah.
It's dr-marshall.com. Oh, man, what a fun guy to talk to. If you'd like a question before we go, we have some time. 888-663-6386. Email patrick@oneradionetwork.com. So have you come up with something that you kind of know for sure, like we'll ditch these glyphosates out of our body if we have them?
Well, that's a great, great question.
Well, that's my job, Doc. That's my job.
How do we detoxify glyphosate?
Right.
Well, okay, so glyphosate is a glycine amino acid. So the simplest amino acid is glycine, you know, and it makes up for a protein. It's found in collagen. And then it has a phosphate group on it. And the phosphate basically binds aggressively to metals. It is a beast. I mean, it is one of those, it's an engineered molecule. How to get rid of it? I don't know. Sweat? Probably. I mean, that's a good question. I don't think there's really been any studies that I've seen as far as glyphosate detoxification. Probably sweating. I would guess sweating and then just trying to eat as much organic as possible to minimize exposure.
Oh, so you know, as you know, we're fans of the sauna. Do you think these glyphos are stored in the fats? Do we know that?
Well, amino acids are typically water-soluble. So if you put a phosphate group on it, you're going to make it even more water-soluble. So I would say it's pretty water-soluble. So it's going to come out of your plasma and, you know, it's going to come out of the liquid parts of the body. I don't think it is stored in fat. I don't think it is.
Well, how would it come out then, sweating?
Just through, it would transfer from your bloodstream into the capillaries.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Or beds and out of the sweat.
Yeah, I keep thinking that sauna is only coming out from fat, but that's not true. It's coming out everywhere in the body, right? That's why sweating traditionally has been.
Yeah, you're losing zinc because you can lose a lot of zinc, and zinc is water soluble.
Let's take this phone call. Good morning. You're on the air with Dr. Marshall. Who's this, please?
Yes, this is Rodney in Houston, Texas.
Okay, Rodney, what's going on?
Yes, Dr. Marshall, I have a hypothetical question. And this ties into everything you guys are saying, water-soluble, fat-soluble, sauna. L. Rod Hubbard from the detox protocol, the Scientology, they believe that a lot of medicines that people have taken and even drugs are stored in the body, and you really need to do something to get them out. So my question really was, for people that have taken treatments like chemotherapy, interferon, I particularly took a medicine, Harvoni, for hepatitis C, it worked. But a lot of people complain of brain fog. So hypothetically, I'm sure you can't give diagnosis and all that, but what is your best guess? Is that medicine still in there? Did the medicine just do mitochondrial damage? Is it not really a problem? It's just we're fatigued or the brain's tired? Or what's your best guess on all that?
All right.
Yeah, I would say there's mitochondrial damage. That would be one of my first guesses is, you know, when you're doing any pharmaceuticals at high doses, antibiotics in particular cause a lot of mitochondrial damage, and that lowers the energy of every cell, including all brain cells. So I would say, yeah, if you're doing any high-dose pharmaceuticals to where you're pushing toxicity limits, you're going to get mitochondrial damage and dysfunction. How do you recover it? You can use niacin, nicotinic acid, which gives you a nice flush, a nice, you know, strong flush to the body. That helps with detoxification. As far as lingering, like the drugs lingering in your tissues for long periods, it really depends on the drug, because each drug has its own half-life. And if its half-life is, you know, a couple days, you're going to get rid of most of it within a week. So most of it, you know, 99% of it goes out of the body within, you know, 4 or 5 days. But what I would say for the brain fog is try lithium orotate, and you can get a bottle on Amazon. Just go on Amazon. There's like 20 or so different manufacturers. And try just a microdose. Try 5 milligrams. That's a really small dose. And just take that. Try that every day. And there's a chewable form by Cal. And I have no association with Cal. I wish I did. Mm-hmm. But the brand Cal, K-A-L, has a chewable lithium orotate that goes right in the brain within seconds.
Wow.
Just put it into your mouth, and it travels right through your buccal and gingival tissue right into your brain. And it gives you an immediate, you know, increase in cognitive function and focus and mental clarity. It's amazing.
So you think it would be a safe way that this caller could try just to see if that might help? Is that just symptomatic, or is it really getting rid of some of the brain foggy supplement?
Absolutely. Yeah, it's addressing addressing the fundamental drivers for brain fog. Yeah, it's increasing B12 uptake. So lithium orotate is phenomenal. So it increases folate and B12 utilization, two important brain nutrients, but it's also increasing neural growth factors, BDNF. BDNF is really important for healing any kind of neurological injury. So just a small amount, 5 milligrams of lithium orotate, super, super low dose, and then magnesium. Get a good magnesium supplement because they work together in the body.
Oh, one. So 5 milligrams lithium orotate once a day, and how much mag once a day with that?
I would do 400. Yeah, just start out with 200 milligrams in the morning and get mag glycinate.
Glycinate.
So magnesium glycinate is, in my view, it's a gold standard for magnesium. And take 200 in the morning, 200 in the evening, and those are really low doses. You know, they're pretty much RDA doses. And that'll help a lot with the brain fog. And there's also another supplement called Oxalent. It's a packet, kind of like the emergency vitamin C packets.
Huh.
You can get it on Amazon, too. And it's called Oxy, O-X-Y-L-E-N-T, and it's just a good foundational multivitamin. You just put it in water, and it has boron and selenium and zinc, all these brain nutrients. And you take it, you know, take it with the magnesium and the lithium, and you should notice a difference pretty quick.
Pretty cool. Does that help, Robert?
Do you think the Neuromag is proven good? The Neuromag, the magnesium 3-in-8, Doc?
I think that there's only one study that's been done, and that was funded by the company that produces Mag3-in-8.
Whoops.
So I think it's a bunch of hype, personally. I think it's probably as good as the glycinate, maybe comparable, but you're going to get more bang for your buck from the glycinate.
Last question. If you took too much lithium, because I've played with it, and I've seen some people 15 milligrams and so forth, how would you know you were taking too much? What would be a toxicity side effect?
The only one that I've seen in the office and I've also read about is you might feel a little too calm and sedated.
That's great. Yeah. Oh, well, we can eat some of that, really.
Yeah, like magnesium. You do a little bit too much, and you might feel a little too calm or sedated, and you can offset that with some caffeine, easy enough. And caffeine promotes lithium excretion. So how many people drink coffee and tea and... I mean, it's flushing out magnesium, lithium, zinc. So one way to offset it, just a little more caffeine.
Oh, cool. All right, Robert. Well, thanks a lot. Good question. So this is curious. I lost it. It was flying around and boom, it just left. It'll come back. It just went circling the runway. Here's an email. Paul, has doctor found a formula for rebuilding myelin sheath renewal? Any recommendations for someone who's had demyelinization from pharmaceuticals. Oh, myelin sheaths.
Absolutely. Yeah, magnesium and lithium both promote regeneration, remyelination. Okay, so you want to optimize your magnesium. So I would take magnesium glycinate, so 200 milligrams twice a day just to start out. And then I would do the lithium orotate as well. So with remyelination, for I would use 5 milligrams for the first week and then 10 milligrams thereafter.
Now, 5 milligrams, what is that in micrograms? Because didn't you give the lithium before in micrograms? I don't want to get confused here.
Well, it's 5,000 micrograms, but typically lithium, it's talked about in milligrams. So we just use milligrams, yeah. And the thing to remember is nutritional dosage range for lithium is 5 to 20 milligrams approximately. There's some people take up to 40. Jonathan Wright in Washington, he was using up to 40 milligrams in his practice. And he's an MD in Washington using it for years and years. And he didn't find any negative side effects at 40 milligrams. He tested thyroid function. He tested different things, blood levels, and no negative effects of lithium at up to 40 milligrams of lithium orotate.
So 5,000 micrograms is 5 milligrams, and you could just get some lithium orotate 5 milligrams and play with that, and not a lot of downsides.
No, the only thing that's going to happen is you're going to feel better. You're going to feel more grounded, more focused. Your increases cognitive function, so you're going to increase IQ. It increases intelligence. It's a nootropic. Lithium and magnesium are nootropics.
What's a nootropic?
It's basically improves cognitive function, a brain nutrient. So it's a new the new word these days is nootropics, and some people pronounce it nootropic. But they're basically things that improve cognitive performance.
Mm-hmm. Here's another email for you. Okay, until his product is ready, what kind of magnesium, lithium, selenium do we purchase? I just go to health food store. I think we covered that, or let's do it again.
I'll cover it again. Sure. So a good one that you can get is made by Cal. Cal, K-A-L, and they have a chewable lithium orotate, which is great because it gets into your system really quick. It doesn't have to go through your GI tract.
Okay.
So Cal, and then Cal also makes a good magnesium glycinate. So, I wish I had stock in the company, but I don't. And they're doing some good stuff these days. So magnesium glycinate, 400 milligrams. Try lithium orotate at 5 milligrams. And then the Oxalent, which is a good general multivitamin powder. It's like the emergency packets. It's called Oxylent, O-X-Y-L-E-N-T. And just one packet a day. It gives you 1,000 milligrams of vitamin C, gives you all these B vitamins, low doses, RDA doses of B vitamins, methyl B12, methyl folate. And then it gives you the Albion minerals, so zinc glycinate, molybdenum glycinate, all these, well-absorbed minerals. So it's a really good foundational supplement.
Mm-hmm. This is from George. Is your guest familiar with two products, Drucker Lab, that I like, but I'm not sure about them, Intramax and Intramin? Do you know those guys?
I do, yes. Uh-huh.
What do you think?
I think they have good products. I think there's a lot of good products out on the market. People that have integrity that are actually interested in helping people. Yeah, absolutely. I think, Clear Labs is good, Drucker Labs, Pure Encapsulations, good company.
Good stuff, yeah. Mm-hmm. And Drucker seems to be, I think they're all food source, isn't it? Is that a big difference I'm curious, when you do this orotate and glycinate, are these things made in a lab by the Beaker Boys with little white suits on? where does this stuff come from?
Okay, well, orotate is found in carrots and whey protein, and it's in breast milk. It's actually a really good delivery system for minerals. Huh. So it's naturally occurring. So the orotate is part of every cell in our body. So that's the good news. But some of these things they're synthesized. Yeah, they're done in, clean labs. And in an ideal world, we'd get everything from our food. Everything would be food form. But the way I look at it is, as long as you're taking a mineral and combining it with an amino acid like glycine, like the glycinate, you're getting a food form mineral, so you're getting as close to nature as possible.
So even if you do a Beaker Boy thing, the body knows what it is and can deal with it. I mean, the science has got to prove that, otherwise you wouldn't even be talking like this.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Okay. Absolutely. You take something like lithium orotate, for example, and it's at least three times more bioavailable than lithium carbonate or citrate. I mean, it's night and day difference. And the same thing goes for mag glycinate. Magnesium glycinate is several times better absorbed than mag oxide or even mag citrate.
Neuropharmacologist Dr. Tim Marshall's with us. It is dr-marshall.com. Really has a great background. And did you really, come on, you just made that up. 11 years old, you were like experimenting with this stuff? Your mom must have wanted to lock you up, man.
I was interested in performance enhancement. That was my interest, to be the best in sports and school. And I thought, you know, mastering my own biochemistry and optimizing it would give me this like superhuman, you know, ability. but I didn't have enough knowledge at that time when I was 11 to really implement it. And it was interesting. It was a big learning experience.
But
for
how
me.
Did you even come up with that 11 years old? I mean, what did you watch Mr. Well, you're too young to be watching Mr. Wizard. I mean, what did you do? How did you get there?
Well, my dad was into juicing and nutritional supplements. So he was Amway, and he had some vitamin supplements from Amway, and I developed this weird like skin rash, which I later found out was due to food colors, yellow number 5, and I didn't know it at the time. I thought I had a vitamin deficiency. I saw, you know, that this B vitamin could give you a skin rash, and I thought, wow, I must have like a vitamin deficiency, and so I started chasing that, you know, the rabbit down that hole, and it led me to a whole world of, you know, I was excited, actually. I love biochemistry.
That's so you were kind of destined for this one, boy, if you were on it at 11. I mean, you had no way out this lifetime, boy. I was like, okay.
Yeah, it was an initiation for sure. It was, but it's been a fun life. I've enjoyed it.
And where did you grow up? What part of the world?
Indiana. I was born in Indianapolis, and then I moved to South Bend, and we kind of moved around, lived in San Antonio for a year, and South Dakota for a year on a Sioux Indian reservation. My mom taught out there, and so I've kind of been around a few different places.
Did you learn any cool stuff from the Indians, American Indians?
Oh, my. Yeah, my mom loved the Native Americans. That was really where she belonged out there, and I think what I learned was respect for the land, respect for life,
So before we go, let's talk a little, you got a few more minutes?
Sure,
okay.
Absolutely.
Yeah, let's talk a little bit about the spiritual aspects of this, because that's really my main focus in life, you know, who I am, where I am, how did I get here, where am I going, and what's it all about, Alfie, you know, one of those?
Sure, you got it.
Yeah, baby, that's it. That's it for me, man. That's it. That's everything that matters. Anything else, I don't even care about. So let's say a little humanoid starts to get anxious about something, right? And it's just a mind thing, right? The mind comes in and they're anxious about flying or about meeting a person or speaking on stage or something. And they react to that thought, and then that thought, of course, will come back because they have bought into that idea that thought is real. Right? You with me so far?
Absolutely.
Okay. So then we know that, I mean, that loop, in my opinion, my experience, can cause anything from anxiety. I mean, anything, right? It could just, it could cause anything. You can go to a therapist and they could talk to you for 20 years and you could probably still have it until you figure out that it's a spiritual issue. So my question to you is, dear doc, is when this goes on, this obviously has to be part and parcel at the brain at the same time, right? It's an interconnective thing, isn't it? In the now?
Sure, yeah.
It's going on. It's multifaceted. Yeah. So it is going on in the brain and mind and body same time. So that's why somebody could have a scary thought and they feel it in their body, because it's just one game, even though they're separate. Are you okay so far with this?
Yeah, thoughts are energy, and right, and so that can be translated throughout the body, that energy.
Right.
You got it.
So let's follow this further. So is this, but it's not really causing any kind of physiological bump or stuff that's stuck on the brain at that point. It's still energetic, isn't it?
It is, but it's basically carving networks in the brain.
Okay.
That's what's going on. And so our thoughts follow the path of least resistance. Those neural networks that have been worn well, you know, like a road.
Right.
And so if we keep thinking the same thoughts over and over again, right, that pathway gets reinforced.
Yes.
And that's the problem. You got to break it. And there's ways to do it.
Yeah. So I get that spiritually. It's like a groove on a record that just keeps worn and keeps coming back because it's such a deep groove. Spiritually, right. I mean, I get that. My question to you is, so if you go in from a biopharmacology perspective and work on the brain, that's not affecting the mind, which is separate. Does not the patient still have to do the spiritual work? And I guess it must help them, or you tell me your opinion.
My opinion is, let's say that individual has been carrying a lot of stress, and so they're flushing out lots of magnesium. That, you know, that's the body's stress buffer is magnesium. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about that. So your brain has to have the resources in which to deal with whatever it is, you know, thoughts that are disturbing or stressful. And if you're losing that nutrient reserve that gives you the ability to really step back and look at it objectively. Now you're a prisoner, because now it's like you can't even positively affect it, because your body's depleted of, say, magnesium or other elements that are really essential for its proper function. So if your brain isn't able to function properly, and you then have bad thoughts and you have trauma maybe associated in your life, then it doesn't have those resources. And so from my point of view, getting the body the extra nutrients like magnesium, vitamin C, they lower cortisol levels, they help you feel more, you know, grounded. Then you can deal with those deeper spiritual aspects that, you know, and I've done this myself. I mean, I've been in this area for many, many years.
I'm sorry, we lost your volume. Something happened there.
Am I still with you?
Yeah, something's going on with your microphone. It keeps...
Okay. So I've been in this personal development, you know, field for many years, reading Deepak Chopra, Wayne Dyer, since I was in my teens and 20s.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's just it's a really important area in my life, just like it is in yours, the spirituality. And I can tell you that these elements, these are divine elements. They're healing elements, magnesium, vitamin C, lithium. I mean, these are elements that our ancestors co-evolved with, you know, in greater supply. And I think it gave them, you know, more resources to call upon. They had what they needed to function properly. So if, you know, you're trying to heal, you know, PTSD or, you know, some trauma, you're going to need extra magnesium because your body's flushing it out from the stress. And you need that as an anti-stress mineral. So, yeah, you can basically counteract these, you know, stressful thoughts with these elements, because they're feel good nutrients. So when you're feeling good, your thoughts also change. They, you know, start resonating at that feel good frequency.
And then you as soul, what my experience have been, when we use these things as tools, you as soul have the ability to become more aware, because you're not in pain or going crazy, to see how this mm-hmm. game works and then change from a spiritual perspective. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. I mean, I've done this myself.
Yeah,
so I'm
me too.
Experience. Yeah. To where we've all experienced trauma living in this world in some way, you know, and just watching a violent movie can be traumatic for some people.
Yep. Yeah.
You know, or watching the news can be traumatic. So we have these viruses that are basically projected to us from the media, right, that get into our brain and run these programs that are upsetting for some people. And using things like EFT, emotional freedom technique, you know, Brad Yates is mm-hmm. brilliant, and Nick Ortner, I love their work. I'd say integrating, you know, using like emotional freedom technique, the tapping along with the nutrients, you know, the magnesium, lithium, you know, vitamin C, anything that can help you feel better, get it into your body, and then you can, deal better with those deep spiritual issues.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's fun too, which I'm seeing in my life is the more I peel the onion and the quieter I get and have more spiritual experiences, that more kind of stuff oozes up from the subconscious, wherever that is, and there's always more stuff to clean up.
Yeah.
Isn't it crazy? It's like, it's like, where'd that come from, man?
Exactly.
Did I really believe that? And how long have I believed that, right?
Right. And how much are we tuning in? You know, the brain is a transmitter of information and it's a receiver of information. How much are we like picking up maybe from our environment or other people, you know, and that gets into the psychic area, you know, that we do have those abilities, you know, if we practice. Mm-hmm. So, no, that's where I'm really interested in, is that whole essence of, you know, spirituality combined with the brain and biochemistry. You know, how does it all work together?
Yeah, yeah. Where do you think soul resides? Do you have an opinion where we hang out?
Good question. You know, my feeling is, you know, God is everywhere, and it's a real force, a real energy, a positive energy that permeates everything, all living life and non-life too. So I feel like, you know, the soul is always, you know, communicating with God. So wherever that is, but I think it's non-localized. Mm-hmm. I think the soul is somewhere. We'll probably figure it out at some point. But I just like to think it's in a good place. It's in wherever we think of heaven. Yeah. I think it's
We're with God, right? I get it.
Exactly.
Somebody wants to know about lithium aspartate. Is that any good?
No.
No, don't take it. Let that one go.
The reason why, okay, so when you combine lithium with aspartic acid is an excitatory amino acid.
Oh.
You do not want something excitatory with something that's inhibitory like lithium. So lithium and magnesium are inhibitory. They're calming to the body. You don't want to combine it with something that is excitatory. You know, it just doesn't make any sense. So I would, you know, use lithium orotate and not lithium aspartate. It's just better. The orotate's better.
Gary has an email. I've read that magnesium L-T-H-R-E-O-N-A-T-E, theron? I don't know what that is,
was the best
magnesium for crossing the blood-brain barrier. Could you please ask Dr. Marshall on the theronate, whatever that is?
Yeah. There was one study that was published that showed that magnesium threonate basically crossed the blood-brain barrier more effectively than other magnesium supplements. But that study was funded by the company that produced mag threonate.
Oh,
so
good.
I don't think necessarily believe that. We know that any magnesium mag citrate, as simple as magnesium citrate, is calming. It's an anxiolytic, it's calming, it's an antidepressant. So we know all forms of magnesium get across the blood-brain barrier, even mag sulfate, you know, some of these like, you know, simpler forms. So all forms get across the blood-brain barrier, some of them better, like mag glycinate. I really like magnesium glycinate because glycine is a calming amino acid. So it's calming along with magnesium, which is also calming, so you get a synergism between the two. So that's the reason why I really like magnesium glycinate, is because it just has a really soothing effect on the brain.
Well, on planet Earth in 2018, Dr. Marshall, you should probably just take a magnesium glycinate bath every night and just call it a day, right?
Right.
It's like, just jump right in there, man.
that sounds good. And another thing with the mag threonate is it's just got a low percent of elemental magnesium. So you need to take a good amount of mag threonate to get, you know, a fair amount of magnesium. So most supplements with mag threonate have 140, 144 milligrams. And, you know, I just think you're getting more bang for your buck from some of the other forms.
Mm-hmm. What about all these little tag-alongs, Dr. Bob Marshall, and no relation to you, that was a good friend for a long time with me, cool guy, a PhD, all these tag-alongs, he called them, that you look at these supplements and they have things that I have no idea what they are, magnesium stearate and little things. Do we concern ourselves with those at all? Do they matter?
I, you know, honestly, I've been studying this and trying to figure that out myself, whether, you know, mag stearate, whether it's negligible. There's such small amounts. There's certain things that you do want to avoid, you know, like preservatives, food colors, you know, synthetic food colors, like blue number one, red number 40, you know, you want to avoid those. But something like magnesium stearate, and I've read everything. I try to find everything that I could on it. And I would say it's innocuous. It does not have any deleterious effects in the body that I've seen. And all it is magnesium with a long chain fatty acid. And stearate is basically found in animal products. So it's a super, super tiny amount. I don't think it's enough to do anything.
Richard wants to know what your opinion is on low-dose naltrexone. Patrick did a show on it with Steve Mitchell, pharmacist. Does he have any experience using this?
Yes. And in fact, when I was doing my dissertation work, our lab was studying low-dose naltrexone. And it does. It resets the nervous system. It resets the opioid circuitry. So I think it's very good.
Boy, it's so interesting you use that word reset. Because I was, you know, I've been kind of playing around with some spiritual issues on sleeping and for years. And I did the LDN for maybe every other day for like maybe 2 weeks. And I'm done. It's like,
wow.
Yeah. I mean, I could really tell a difference in my brain or something. And I just don't even want to take it anymore because this is just, I only did like 6 or 7 doses of 1.5 milligrams.
That's amazing.
So it must reset something.
Oh, yeah. No, that's what it's been studied to do, is reset the opioid circuits. Yeah, that whole receptor chemistry.
So I have a whole bottle. I think I'll go on eBay and sell them. Just kidding.
Yeah.
Isn't that amazing? 1.5 milligram? I mean, that's barely even putting it in. It's like almost like homeopathic.
Yeah, and I didn't even talk about, you know, as far as, you know, with the suicides and things that are a lot of unrest in our society, that low doses of lithium are very important.
Oh, the five milligram thing?
Oh, yeah, even less. Even less is very good.
Do you need some water there? Sounds like you're choking.
Yeah, I got to drink some water.
Okay, go ahead. We're talking to Dr. Tim Marshall. Check out his resume here on dr-marshall.com. If I read it all, you'd probably be kneeling before him saying, Swami, I'm just kidding. But he's really been around, man. This is great stuff. He's a neuropharmacologist and been kind of researching things since he's 11 years old. If I might ask, how many revolutions around the sun are you now? What's your chronological age?
I turned 45 in July.
Hi, so. You're just a kidlet. That's great, man.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah, so...
So what were you saying before you got choky?
Sorry. Yeah, so suicide. Lithium is the best natural anti-suicidal element that we're aware of, the treatment. So we're talking micrograms, like as low as like, you know, 200, 500 micrograms of lithium is protective against suicide.
Wow.
And the reason for that is because it helps with mood. So we're talking low, low doses. Like back in the 1930s when 7-Up was lithiated, from 1929 to 1950, 7-Up had a little bit of lithium citrate in it. And you know what's interesting about that is
wow.
two weeks prior to the Great Depression of 1929, 7-Up was introduced. And I mean, I don't know, you know, if it necessarily did a lot, but I believe, you know, having a little bit of extra lithium during that period was probably protective against suicides.
I'll be done. I can remember I grew up in the 50s, and if we had a little bit of tummy ache, often my mom would give us a little 7-Up. I don't know why. She knew something.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and so the citrate has a kind of a calming effect.
Ah.
But lithium also... So, but what happened was, you know, from 1929 to 1950, 7-Up did have the lithium, and the 7 in 7-Up is the atomic weight for lithium, and the up has to do with it elevates the mood.
Oh, come on, so, really? Is that where that came from?
I believe, yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah, I mean, from everything I've read on it, that's exactly where it came from. It was a hangover remedy. So it was introduced as a hangover remedy in 1929. And so something that prevents a hangover is neuroprotective. It, you know, prevents the irritation from the alcohol and the other chemicals produced from the alcohol. So lithium is one of those elements that, you know, it's the primary, it's one of the three foundational fundamental elements in the universe, hydrogen, helium, and lithium. They built everything from those elements. So you could take, for example, the weight, so with lithium is 3, so 4 lithiums go into 1 magnesium. So in a star, you actually fuse 4 lithiums to make 1 magnesium. And I think that's probably why there's some chemical similarity between the two elements, is because the magnesium originated from the lithium.
So we're all stars, too. We're everywhere, man. Wow.
Yeah, it's fascinating.
It really is, yeah.
But the one thing I want to just sort of just make known to people is that if you're not feeling well, it's due to nutrient deficiencies that you have. So things like vitamin D, magnesium, you want to make sure your vitamin D level is, you know, at least 50 nanograms per mil, get it up there. Magnesium, take, you know, a good form like mag-glycinate. And just, we're talking microdoses of some of these elements like lithium. It's so super, super small dose, and it's just going to make all the difference in your life. Just a small amount of this element can transform your life, and I've seen it many, many times with people.
Can you ask Dr. Marshall, writes Lynn, what are the best nutrients for a recovering alcoholic for both the brain and the body and the liver? A past guest, another one, mentioned that LDN may be viable for that on alcoholics.
Right. Well, for alcoholics, interestingly enough, low-dose lithium has been studied, and it's very effective. So, you know, 5 milligrams, once again, if you use 5 milligrams, it reduces your cravings for alcohol and other drugs, amphetamines, anything that people use to feel better. If you have more of these foundational elements like magnesium, so extra magnesium, first of all, get that in your body. That's going to help. And then just a little bit of extra lithium. 5 milligrams is very effective at reducing cravings for alcohol.
It just cuts down on the cravings.
It makes the brain feel, so when you feel better, you don't seek the alcohol, because it's really, people are seeking the alcohol to feel better.
Yeah, right. Or, you know, to get up enough nerve to ask a girl out in the day. But that's another story. That's another story.
Yeah.
I was wondering if, or ask her to dance, right? I was wondering if Dr. Marshall knows about mitigate fluoride in the city water. I drink spring water, but I'm concerned about the bath water. Oh, so Barbara's taking a bath in street water. So, yeah, that's a good question. Is that a concern?
Fluoride is, absolutely. So I think my whole talk today now is going to be about lithium.
Yeah, it's a lithium one, boy.
Yeah, and the reason why is fluoride binds the lithium. So why do we have lithium deficiency? That's a big question that people ask me. It's like, why do we have it? And one of the reasons is fluoride. Fluoride binds to lithium, depleting the lithium in our food, in our water. And so we're losing a neuroprotective element. So fluoride's a neurotoxin. High levels of fluoride actually lower intelligence, lower learning ability. And Harvard came out with a meta-analysis just recently over the last few years saying we've been over-fluoridating our waters for many years now, and we need to stop it. We need to take down the fluoride, and we need to get rid of the fluoride, really, is what we need to do.
It's just not good stuff, is it? Just not good.
Not in our water, you know. And the tooth issue, you know, if fluoride's really, you know, strengthening the tooth enamel, I mean, I don't know. I just don't know.
Yeah. I mean, it has to be something to it, unless it was just so spooky that they convinced all the dentists that it does. But, you know, I'm with you. I just, who knows, man? Because I don't think we're going to get a straight story from the ADA. God love them. They're just going to tell us.
Yes. Yeah. The pineal calcification, though, I mean, I think there's some evidence that fluoride does do the pineal calcification. And, you know, you just don't want to get too much of anything that you don't need, right? So why add fluoride to the water, you know, if really it's not doing anything? And it's a drug, you know, it's classified as a drug by the FDA.
Okay, so again, let's wrap. Do you do consultations, somebody wants to know?
I do,
okay.
Yes.
And that goes through your website? Through your website?
Yep. I do phone, Skype consultations. Also, if you, you know, live in Tucson, Arizona, you can come to my office here.
Oh, really? Cool. So just kind of recap with the way you test for goodies in the brain things and the way you you detox. Oh, just another email just popped in. This one from, Patrick. Hi, Patrick. Now, the Patrick wants to know what does your guest think is the cause and cures for Parkinson's? Oh, that's a good one, because that's a brain thing, right? Okay, so let's do Parkinson's first, and then we'll wrap with testing and detox, just a broad stroke of what you do. Parkinson's.
Okay, so the second leading cause of Parkinson's disease in the United States is drug-induced. So the first thing to do is identify any potential drugs that a person has taken or is taking that is contributing to the Parkinson's. And those can be psychotropics. So something like Abilify has been associated with Parkinson's. Statin medications, cholesterol-lowering medications, are associated with Parkinson's. So the first thing is get off any drugs that could be contributing to those symptoms. And then getting rid of any toxins. So like if there's mercury in the system, any lead. So what I would do is like a hair analysis or, you know, find out if there's any heavy metals in the body. Sweating. Sauna therapy is great. It's great for so many things, but it's great for anything neurological. And then adding neuroprotective elements. So immediately, you know, getting more neuroprotective elements, magnesium, lithium, zinc, vitamin C, you know, omega-3 fatty acids, the B vitamins, all those elements that can help with healing whatever's going on there and catching it early. You just want to catch it early and get rid of those medications that could be potentially contributing to it.
Can you explain to us what's going on in a classic Parkinson's protocol? I mean, what's going on in the body, the brain?
Yeah, so the body has dopamine-producing cells. So in the brain, there's dopamine-producing cells. And what happens is those cells start to reduce in number and they start to reduce in function to where you're not getting enough dopamine.
Oh.
And dopamine is very important for movement, coordinated movement. So with someone who has Parkinson's, their dopaminergic function is basically really decreased and they start to get symptomatic. So all the Parkinsonian drugs basically, you know, increase dopamine, L-DOPA. So L-DOPA is, you know, one of your classical Parkinson's medications, and that increases dopamine in the brain. But over time, those neurons keep reducing in number. The dopamine-producing neurons keep reducing in number, and then it gets worse and worse. So you want to offset that somehow, you know. And what I do here at North Star Neurology is that we have a protocol of hyperbaric oxygen. So we use hyperbaric oxygen along with nutrient optimization, so using all the nutrients I've been talking about, and getting the system rebuilt. So getting the body the nutrients, the oxygen, the detox, you know, using far infrared sauna therapy, getting rid of the heavy metals, anything that can negatively impair the healing process, get rid of it, and then boost the natural healing process with oxygen and nutrients.
Have you seen folks with full-on Parkinson come back?
Here, let me give you an interesting yes.
Wow.
I'll give you an interesting story. Okay, I had a 13-year-old girl in Texas. Dad's an anesthesiologist. He contacted me on New Year's Day of this past year. And his daughter went on Abilify, riprapraizole, this antipsychotic medication to treat OCD. So she first went on Prozac, and the Prozac did not work for her. It made her worse. And then she went on Abilify. Well, the Abilify gave her Parkinsonian symptoms. She had what looks like Parkinson's. So she had brain injury due to the medication, due to the Abilify. And I was, you know, sent videos. I saw videos of her, and she had full-blown. It was full-blown Parkinson's induced by a medication. And we've been undoing that over the last year. So it's taken several months to undo it using lithium, magnesium, yoga, meditation, all kinds of things, integrative therapies. But she's getting better, progressively getting better to the point where there's no Parkinsonian symptoms left. There is a little bit of speech that's been affected, but you can heal it. You can heal neurological injury. And the way that we do it here in town is we're using the oxygen. She hasn't tried the oxygen, and I hope she does, because that will really help a lot, hyperbaric oxygen therapy. And the neurologist that I work with, Dr. Carol Henricks, we do it a lot with the military. So we have a military nonprofit organization called Healing Arizona Veterans, and we use all this in healing, you know, veterans that have been exposed to toxins and blast injuries and anything that's basically causing PTSD. It could be a toxin exposure. It could be, you know, a blast injury. And we use these therapeutics to do that, and they really work.
So, Dr. Marshall, when you talk about brain injury, doesn't mean that it's permanent, like Parkinson's.
Right. Yeah. See, it was, you know, taught in medical school for many years that brain injury was irreversible. It's not irreversible. It can be reversed. And so we specialize in brain recovery. So recovering function. And we do it. I mean, if you get the right elements, if the body and brain get the right healing elements, it can heal itself.
I would be remiss if we didn't even bring up Alzheimer's. I mean, it's just massive. What's going on? What's going on in our culture?
Yeah, well, you know, the pathophysiology of Alzheimer's is related to this protein, this tau protein, and this beta amyloid, the plaques. And what we know is that that's a protective mechanism. The body actually uses the beta amyloid as a protective mechanism against toxins. So the body is attempting to protect itself, but in the process, it's accumulating this plaque, which then interferes with neurotransmission. So the key is getting rid of the toxins and then also having a protective shield. So you need protective shields against these, you know, toxins. And, you know, I keep coming back to the same stuff, you know, the magnesium, the lithium, those are neuroprotective elements. We need more of these neuroprotective elements. And something as simple as 5 milligrams of lithium has been shown to slow the progression of Alzheimer's. And it can also, in my view, it prevents it. If you're getting, you know, a small amount of lithium throughout your lifetime, more than the average person, you're going to have less chance of developing Alzheimer's because you have that protective shield up. And not only that, but lithium has all these reparative functions in the brain. So it repairs any kind of injury. Like if you have a beta amyloid, you know, plaque developing, and it also inhibits tau protein. So the tau protein is very important in the pathophysiology of Alzheimer's, and it inhibits the formation of the tau. So it's very important. I mean, these elements I can't overstress their importance when it comes to prevention and then treatment.
So the plaque in the brain on Alzheimer's, is it any relation to the plaque that maybe gets in the arteries and other parts of the body?
I would say to some degree. I mean, the cholesterol plaques, those are a repair mechanism too. So when you have inflammation in the lining of the arteries and the blood vessels, then, you know, cholesterol really is the repair mechanism. It comes in there to repair the damage. So in a way it is, you know, they're both repair mechanisms. And the way to really reduce that occurrence is just reduce inflammation. So use anti-inflammatory nutrients, anti-inflammatory diet, you know, fish oils. Magnesium's anti-inflammatory. That's, you know, that's huge, right? You know, so magnesium is really, it's the element that a lot of people are missing, and it reduces inflammation, reduces cardiovascular disease, reduces so many different things, and it protects against Alzheimer's along with lithium. These are elements that are divinely gifted to us, and it's time that everyone knew about them. It really is. It's time that everyone knows that magnesium, lithium, zinc, all these elements are critical to our functioning and to basically our longevity. And Linus Pauling, I mean, he lived until he was 93, and he was well tuned into all this, the vitamin C and all this stuff.
And the vitamin C is pretty critical to getting rid of a lot of different things that probably we don't even know about, isn't it?
Yeah, I agree. I think, vitamin C is a detoxifier too. So it's used with a lot of different processes in the body. And, you know, and I was listening to one of your shows where they're discussing copper, you know, copper ceruloplasmin deficiency. And, you know, taking 1,000, 2,000 milligrams of vitamin C is completely safe. And it is protective against, you know, heavy metals, and it's an important brain nutrient. So, you know, a couple thousand milligrams a day is really good.
Yeah.
It's a good idea.
Here's emails just keep coming in as long as we hang out. So Steve says, has the doctor helped folks who suffered from strokes resulting in partial paralysis recover brain function? Well, that's a great question. Boy, you see these people, they end up in the nursing home and they just sit there, right? Is it possible to get the reverse that? Have you ever seen it?
Absolutely. Yes.
Have you really? Man.
You bet. My dad, just at the age of 80, just had a stroke, and immediately I got him on 10 milligrams lithium orotate. So, increased his lithium, increased magnesium. And you know what happened was he went off of his protocol. So I have him on this fully optimized brain protocol. And for a whole week. He didn't take his magnesium, didn't take his fish oils, didn't take the lithium. And I was like, Dad, you know, come on. And so he had a TIA, and he went in the hospital and was in there for, I think, a day, you know, because he had paralysis. His hand was semi-paralyzed, and he was having twitching. And as soon as I, you know, as soon as I found out about it, I was like, you know, you need to get back on the lithium orotate, go do 10 milligrams. That's going to increase growth factors. And these growth factors in the brain and nervous system are the ones that repair injury. So when you have a stroke, you know, the body basically suffers a loss of oxygen and nutrients to the cells. That's why there's injury. So immediately you need to get more of those nutrients into the body. And the lithium, boom, it upregulates stem cell production, growth factors, along with magnesium. They work together. And yes, you can. You can heal all kinds of neurological injuries with these elements.
Did he come back around to normal?
Oh, totally. Absolutely. It was gone. And within a week of being on the fish oils, the magnesium, the lithium, it was just totally gone. And he's like, you would not even know he had anything.
80, and he's 80 revolutions around the sun.
80, and he works 12 hours a day in real estate in Phoenix. Yeah.
How long has he been on all your little brain things?
Well, the VA tried to get him on some medications back 20 years ago, and so it's been at least 20 years. I got him off the blood pressure medication, got him off his statin, cholesterol medication, and put him on these elements that are, you know, infinitely more beneficial and are protective and will, you know, keep you functioning optimally for years. You know, that's the difference between the nutrients and the medications. The nutrients your body needs and will actually help you function better. They're, you know, brain nutrients, peak performance nutrients is what I like to call them. And those will keep you functioning for years and years to come and prevent, you know, you getting sick, you getting, you know, like Alzheimer's or Parkinson's or, you know, even a cold. I mean, they're really important.
Here's somebody on tamoxifen for over 5 years, developed Alzheimer's, early 50s. Can that be detoxed?
Well, yes. So what I would say is anyone who's developed anything neurological, if you can get hyperbaric oxygen, there's a clinic close by, and we have one here in Tucson, Arizona. So if you're here, you know, we can help you. But if you can get into a hyperbaric oxygen, you know, clinic and get some sessions, you know, like 40 to 100, it will make a huge difference. But the thing you can start with today is get some extra magnesium, you know, all those elements I keep talking about. Get extra fish oils, you know, lithium, you know, start with really low doses. I always start at the lowest effective dose. Just get a little bit in the body and see, you know, see how it does.
Like 5 milligrams lithium orotate.
Yeah, just start with 5. Mm-hmm. And most people immediately, they notice it sharpens them up, that they feel just more grounded. They feel calmer, more focused. It just improves cognitive function. And then increase the magnesium. And, you know, something as simple as a vitamin B12 deficiency can cause the symptoms of Parkinson's and Alzheimer's.
Really? Just a B12?
Just B12. Yeah, and lithium actually increases B12 uptake and utilization. So, you know, make sure you get your B12 level taken, and it needs to be at least 600. So in the United States, you know, we say normal is 200 to 400. It's not. In most countries, 600 is, you know, you need at least 600. And then there's a couple other tests for B12 as well, homocysteine and MMA, so methylmalonic acid. These are indicators of B12 utilization in the body. So if you get your B12 serum level checked, you need to add MMA, methylmalonic acid, and also homocysteine. Those will tell you whether if you have a true deficiency or not. Those are indicators of how well it's utilized in the body.
And just as a disclaimer, Dr. Tim Marshall out of Tucson owns a lithium mine in South Africa. So, just kidding.
Oh, no. not that yet.
Just kidding.
You never know.
Yeah, you know, it's so interesting you mentioned that, you know, these different things that the listeners keep writing in on because they read them on the internet, right? And a lot of these studies are done, and I guess I should know. They're done by the company, so they just say, blah, and they do these studies.
Yeah. No, that's true. I mean, you have to look who's funding the study. It's really important.
Yeah. Okay, finally, I keep saying finally, but you've mentioned fish oil quite a few times. Now, we've had so many people on the show that are just think that fish oil is like the devil and will do all kinds of things and it's rancid and it's just a big hype, but evidently you don't feel like that.
No, I don't.
All right, go ahead.
No, I don't, and I'm not the only one. So Daniel Amen, he's a psychiatrist that uses hyperbaric oxygen as well in his practice, and he has Amen clinics all throughout the United States, and he treats traumatic brain injury and neurological conditions, and he does SPECT scans. He does the whole thing. I mean, we're on the same page in that respect. But 3,000 milligrams of omega-3s, DHA and EPA, are critical for brain function and healing brain injury. So neurogenesis, the formation of new brain cells, you need omega-3 fatty acids. DHA is in high amounts in the brain. It needs that omega-3 fatty acid. So if you get a high quality fish oil, so from Nordic Naturals or one of these companies like Carlson,
you're okay with it.
Yeah.
So is there a way, if people still get this fish oil thing that they don't like, is there a way to get these 3,000 EPA DHAs other than fish oil?
Yeah, you could get it from an algal. Yeah, so there's algal sources where you don't need to get the fish. You can use algae. Typically, those have really high levels of DHA relative to the EPA. So my view is you should have more EPA than DHA, because EPA is a real anti-inflammatory. It has the most anti-inflammatory activity. And okay. DHA has a little, but you get most of it from the EPA. So I always look for a formula that's got more EPA than DHA.
What kind of ratio do you like?
Just to where there's just more EPA. As far as like a 2-to-1 ratio or anything like that, you just want to make sure there's just more EPA. Yeah, and everything that I've seen with it, and I've been using fish oils, for 25 years, I always feel sharper. I feel an immediate effect when I use like a teaspoon of the liquid fish oil. I just take it, boom. I just feel like my brain loves it. And, and using it in the clinic too, I mean, people come back and they say, wow, this stuff, it works. And to me, the proof's in the pudding.
Yeah. You take something. Well, I mean, your brain sure sounds pretty good, Doc. I mean, doesn't grass-fed or meats have omega-3s?
So you can get it from a lot of sources, and even I know Deepak Chopra was recommending flax oil. Like, he would do like a little shot glass, like an ounce of flaxseed oil, which has the precursors to the DHA and the EPA, alpha linolenic acid, so the ALA.
So
you can use plant sources as the precursor. So if you want to avoid the fish.
I wonder, do we get EPA and DHA if we just get some wild-caught salmon or halibut or something? Are we getting some good stuff in there, are we?
Yeah, you bet. I mean, if you get, some sardine, salmon, you're getting plenty of it. Yeah, so that's one way. If you don't want to supplement, just, eat some small fish like salmon and sardines and herring.
Oh, sardines, yeah. I read it. There was a story one time. There was a fellow who was 110 years old, and you know what he ate every day of his life? Sardines and saltine crackers.
Oh, my.
And he lived to 110. It's like, okay, well, there's got to be something good with these sardines.
Sounds like a sailor. A sailor.
Yeah, probably so. Well, we have way overstayed our welcome. You're really fun to talk to. I'm so glad I found you. So we're going to keep in touch with you, because you're a good one. This is fun. Dr. Tim Marshall, PhD. All kinds of cool things going on his website. He does consultations around the world. If you want to check in, he's in Tucson. You can go visit him. And it's dr-marshall.com. It's been an honor to have you here, Doc. And you let us know if we can do anything for you, sir.
Thank you so much. It's been a pleasure. Thank you.
Take care of yourself.
You as well.
Bye-bye. Well, every now and then we stumble on some real finds, don't we? Well, man, that was fun. I hope you got a lot out of that. I don't know about you, but I'm getting me some lithium orotate today. I'm getting some. All right, we'll see you tomorrow with Open Phone Friday. I love you all very much. Thanks for being here. Appreciate your ongoing support. May the blessings be.
Know the Source on One Radio Network.